Okay, tonight we're going to be looking at what I call gracious gratitude. This may be what one of my friends used to refer to as the gospel according to Walt, because I've got a very small passage, and then we're going to look at what goes with it, and then most of the sermon probably will be the what about is this for us. Mm-hmm. So Colossians 3:16-17. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here tonight. We thank you for your word that can teach us and lead us in the way we should go. And we just ask you to bless us and help all us to penetrate our hearts and help us to serve you well. In Jesus' name. Now, why I called it gracious gratitude was I get this thing every day from the Presidential Prayer Team. This is a very interesting organization. They had intended to start, and they were making preparation to start their website and to have the Presidential Prayer Team starting in January of 2002. And then 9/11 happened. So they had the Presidential Prayer Team in action by the 1st of October 2001. And we were praying for our president and for the government and for the military and for the people who were in charge of trying to keep everything all together.
And that's continued well, for all these years.
One of the things that they do is they send a daily prayer briefing, and it tells you this is what we need to pray about for government officials. This is what is going on with the schedules of these people that we need to pray about, these things that are happening. And then they give you a little short kind of a devotional commentary, whatever you want to talk about it, but just something to prick your interest and to lead you in the way you ought to go. Well, this one was called Gracious Gratitude, and it used this very scripture, and it talked about the difference between gratitude for things and gratitude just because of who someone is. Okay? I don't love Pat because of the thing she does for me. Doesn't do that many things for me. But at any rate, I love Pat because of who Pat is. We love God for what he does for us, but we should also love him for his grace and for the fact of who he is and what he is. So why do we have gratitude for God? Do we have gratitude to him for what he does for us? Or do we actually show gratitude to him for who he is? Now, gratitude for things is like gifts. Somebody gives you something, oh, I'm grateful that you gave me that. Particularly if it's something you need. Okay? I'm always grateful to John because you can't turn around what he's given me something. That's just the way John is. But then again, I also am grateful for who John is and John being John, because that's the way he is. It's not the way I am, okay? I'm not as nearly as generous as he is. But, and then we can have gratitude for help or guidance, people that lead you in the right direction, okay? I have a number of people that I'm gratitude for. I have gratitude for what I learned from them. You often hear me talking about Adrian Rogers, and you've got your books that by Adrian Rogers. And I've said, anything Adrian Brobinger's ever read, grab it and read it, because this is just, this man was so close to God, it was amazing. He was a pure Creek Indian in Seminole territory. Now, how he got down to Miami, I have no idea. But he was from Georgia. His family was from Georgia. He was born in Miami and grew up. And he was not, he used to say, the right kind of Indian. Okay? But he was given a Gideon Testament, and he read it. And being the kind of a, well, Dr. Dobson always talks about, don't be upset if you have a strong-willed child, because that strong will will keep him out of things. Once he decides what's right, if you get him knowing what's right, that strong will keep him from getting into things. Adrian Rogers' strong will said, this is the truth. I'm going to follow this, and I'm going to teach it, and this is going to be my life. And anybody who watched him, I mean, he died at 76 years old. So, but that's the way he lived his life. Mm-hmm. So I'm so grateful for Adrian Rogers and what I learned from him. He was my pastor for a year and a half in Florida, and I've learned so much from him. We are grateful for rescue. If we are in trouble and we're about to be harmed or whatever, and somebody rescues us, we're very grateful for the first responders who come and they protect us. Okay? I used to talk about when I was a cop that if somebody needed a cop and I showed up, oh, I was the best guy that ever walked the face of the planet. But tomorrow, I may just be this dirty, rotten cop who's interfering with their life. See? So, and then for peace. Peace is where perhaps somebody gets you in a position that you can rest and you can recover from something and you have peace in your life. Now, once again, this is what we as people refer to as the absence of conflict for peace. When God talks about peace, it's not the absence of conflict, it's the ability to get through it. Okay? And then we have gratitude for attributes. Now, God has three parts. When people say, well, you know, this is hard to understand, God in three persons or whatever. Then again, God is God. And so who am I to talk about, you know, that I don't understand you, so you're no good or whatever. But there are three parts to God: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Father has the major attributes. First of all, he's omnipotent. Omnipotent means he can do anything. There's a famous, what they call paradox. That was back from the Middle Ages, and it was, if God can do anything, can he create a rock so big he himself cannot lift it? Now, by definition, a paradox occurs because of a failure of the proposition. Now, our proposition here was, there's nothing God can't do. Well, this is kind of a hedge. God wouldn't do. I don't know if God can create a rock so big he himself couldn't lift it. But why would he? Why would he do something that would violate who he is? So he is omnipotent. He can do anything that needs to be done. He's omnipresent. This is one of the things that we often attribute to the devil. We think the devil's out there, boy, he's just tracking us. No. Devil's got a lot of workers. God's got more workers. You see, one third of the angels went with the devil, and two thirds of the angels went with God. And so God actually has twice as many people working for him as the devil does. But the devil himself is not. Devil wasn't going to come after me. Devil goes after people like Billy Graham, Greg Laurie, so on like that. He goes through the big ones, you know. He's not going to bother with me. He's going to send one of his minions after me. And he does a lot, but oh well. That's why God gives me a big angel. I know this because if you ever see my jacket or my vest from riding my motorcycle, you will notice there is, my patch is absolutely pristine. It has no dirt on it, no nothing. That patch was under me for over 250 feet as I was sliding down the road. So I know that if it didn't even get dirty, much less ripped up, there had to be some angels involved in this. And then God is omniscient. Omniscient means he knows everything. Okay? Very often, we think we know everything. But we don't. God does. But we need to be grateful to God for who he is. The Father is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. And he loves us. And then there's Jesus. And so this gets a little bit close to halfway between the two, but Jesus is our Savior. Jesus gave his life to pay for us so that we could get into heaven, so that we could be in right relationship with God. Now that's doing something. So we would say, okay, he's rescued us and we did something. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the very fact of being Savior, it says in the Bible he was slain from the foundation of the earth. That they knew that he was going to have to go to the cross before Adam was even created. And he did it because that's who he is. And so we love Jesus for being Jesus and for loving us so much, even though we're not worthy of his love, that he would go to the cross for us. And he's our advocate now. When we go to God and say, I have a request, Jesus says, yeah, that's one of mine, Dad. You need to do this. And then there's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He can make our hearts and our minds calm. He can let us know that it's going to be all right. He's not making it all right. He's just letting us know it'll be all right. Trust in God. You're going to get through this. He's our conscience. You know, you really ought not to do that. Or, I have often said that I was a little shook because when I first started as a pastor, every time I would go home after a Sunday service, I would just have this incredible elation that I was feeling, and I didn't understand it until this one old pastor of Rock of Hope started to laugh at me, and he said, Walter, that's fulfillment. You're doing what God wants, and the Holy Spirit is making you filled. Your life is fulfilled. You're doing what you're supposed to do. That's what that feeling is. So sometimes he tells us, don't do that. And sometimes he tells us, boy, you're doing good. Keep doing it. And then he's our guide. What am I going to do? I don't understand. Where should I turn? What should I do? That's where Pat laughs at me. Because I will always, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do for a sermon. And usually when I do, I don't know what I'm going to do for a sermon. That's one of the best sermons I ever do. Because when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit grabs hold of me and says, do this. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm trying to phrase things just the way I want to phrase it. And I'm getting these little things in my ear. Oh, say it this way, Walter. Say it this way. He's my guide. So what does this all mean to us? What do we have for us out of this? First of all, are we grateful?
Yes. Yep.
Are we grateful for what God does, or are we grateful for what God is?
Both.
It should be both. Yes, it should be both. We need to be grateful for who and for all of what God is. We need to be grateful for all He's done for us and for His love for us. We need to understand that we're not worthy of God's love. That's just the facts. Adrian Rogers was the guy, and I told him, I said, you know, when I was little, I said I wanted to be a preacher because preachers have to do the right thing. They have to, you know, be good people and all this kind of stuff, and they don't have a choice. They have to. And he just cracked up. He said, you'd be amazed at the mischief I've been into. Well, I can tell you right now, you'd be amazed at the mischief I've been into. You know, but at any rate.
Well, even some of the Bible's greatest apostles were fallible. That's the recurring theme for the Bible.
Yes.
You know, yep. Mischief, but then grace and forgiveness.
Grace and forgiveness, that's right.
We also need to be grateful for what God did not do to us. Because if we sat down and we say, God is pure justice, if we get what we actually deserve, we're in trouble. You see, that's the thing, is we talk about God is a just God, but God is also a merciful God. But He's merciful to those people who have accepted Him and who have accepted His Son as their Savior. Saddam Hussein got exactly what he deserved because he didn't come to God. There are a lot of people who got what they deserved because they weren't following God. We have an awful lot of people who say they're following God who are not following God because they're just, you know, playing it for the money or for the fame or for whatever.
Roxanne, text. Do you have any fruit?
Yep.
I'll be right back.
Okay. We need to be grateful for His presence in our lives. When I was much younger, I was told by somebody, you should drive along like God's sitting in the seat next to you. Mm-hmm. Now, I carried this to extreme, where I would not put my backpack, or if I had a briefcase, I put a briefcase, wouldn't put it there. It goes in the back because God's seat has to be empty. You don't need to go that far. But we need to understand that His presence is there. And when Paul says, pray without ceasing, all that is conversation with God. You can be sitting there driving down the road having a conversation with God. And people think you're crazy as a bed bug. But that's okay. You know, me and the Lord having a talk here. You know, I've worked out many things talking to the Lord in my car. And we need to be grateful for His guidance. Once again, this is predominantly the Holy Spirit who will be telling you, don't do that. Yeah, do that. You're doing good. Whatever. And if we'll just listen, our lives will be so much better. So we need to be grateful to God, not only for what He does and for what He gives us, but we need to be grateful to God for who and what He is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we've been here tonight. We'd ask You to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us always to remember that all this comes from You, that You're the most important thing in our lives. Help us, Lord, to always have gratitude to You, not just for what You give us and do for us, but for just who You are. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you.